Intrepid Radio, this is Control. We are go for an on-air check.
Control, Intrepid. We copy an on-air check.
Intrepid, this is Control. You are go for Intrepid Radio. Cue music and cue talent. Intrepid, you are live in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Intrepid Radio, you are live and the clock is running. You are listening to Intrepid Radio, where we spotlight innovators defining the new rules of marketing, business, politics, and life. And now, here's your host, Todd Schnick.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Intrepid Radio. I'm your host, Todd Schnick. Today's guest is a special treat, one I've been looking forward to for quite some time. Should be a lot of fun and obviously very insightful. He is an author, consultant, and speaker. Welcome to the show, Scott Ginsberg.
Wait a minute. I have to be fun and insightful?
Fun and insightful. I know you can pull it off, Scott. It's great to have you.
All
Thanks
right.
for making the time
yeah.
to be with us today.
My pleasure.
For the benefit of those in the audience who don't know who you are, please take a few minutes and just tell us a little bit about who you are, your background, and what you're out there doing for folks.
Sure. Won't take a few minutes, but I can get there quickly. 3,900 days ago, that's almost 11 years, I had this idea to start wearing a name tag, just for fun, not really to make money, just to make a point, just sort of give myself away. And this experiment worked so well that I decided to leave the name tag on permanently. About a year later, after writing all these stories and experiences, I decided to write a book. It was called Hello, My Name is Scott, and I had no idea that it wasn't a book. It was a brand, and that brand in the past decade now has evolved for 10, 11 years now, and it involves a dozen or so books, traveled around the world doing presentations and workshops, have an online video channel. I do commission art pieces, consulting, mentoring, you name it. So it's been quite the adventure. I never could have planned it this way, but I couldn't think of a better way to spend my career, and I love it, and I still have no idea what I'm doing, and it's great.
Well, I think that goes for a lot of us. I was going to round it up to almost 4,000 days, but I guess 3,900 probably is impressive enough. You know, speaking of branding, I mean, personal branding is so important these days. I mean, share the lessons that you've learned from wearing a name tag for 11 years and how that applies to the everyday guy's personal branding strategy.
It sure does. I think that the way that I perceive branding, it's really two questions. Question number one, how do people experience you? And then question number two is, and maybe more importantly, how do they experience themselves in relation to you? And if you can answer those two questions, then you have your brand.
It's pretty simple then, right? I mean, because I'll be honest with you, Scott. I mean, my company is called Intrepid, and there are people out in my little social graph who, if I say my name, Todd Schnick, they may not know me, but when they hear the word Intrepid, they begin to identify that, oh, I know who you're talking about. Probably the same thing applies
right.
to you. I mean, I told a friend that I had Scott Ginsberg on the show today, and he's like, who? I said, you know,
right.
the name tag guy. Oh, that's going to be a great show, you know. And so, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
It depends on what kind of business you're in. I mean, I think it's certainly good if they remember you, if they know who you are. I mean, I could care less if they know my full name. I mean, they know me as the name tag guy, and I'm happy with that. So I think the challenge is sort of figuring out, what do you want to become known for? What do you want to become known for knowing? What do you want to become known as? And you might not have control over that. I mean, I became the name tag guy just by default, and it was a powerful lesson that if you don't make a name for yourself, someone will make one for you.
Right, and the more that you influence that, the better off you're going to be. Scott, when I think of you, frankly, one word comes to mind, and that is approachability. Because you've written a lot about that. Several of your books are around that subject. Talk about why that's so important to a business person, the word approachability.
I was amazed at how quickly people were willing to say hello, to start a conversation, to engage, to either approach me or let me approach them when I had a name tag on. And it occurred to me that it really isn't a name tag, it's a permission slip. And I think the challenge for each person is to figure out, what's my name tag? You know, what can I do that engages people, that gives either them permission to say hi to me or gives me permission to feel comfortable going up to them? And that's what approachability is. It comes from the Latin term, which means to come nearer to. So how do you come nearer to the people that matter most? The answer to that question is what you do. That's your name tag that makes you more approachable.
Well, the name tag is a conversation starter, right? People saying, wait a minute, you're in
right.
a convenience store. Why are you wearing a name tag? And that gives you an opportunity
right.
to talk to someone. I'm a small business marketing consultant. Now, there's only a billion of those on the planet. But I also host these radio shows, and that is what people are interested in. That's my conversation starter. And so that's what a business has to identify is what is their name tag?
Absolutely.
It's like Hugh McCloud with the cartoons. I mean, those are conversation starters. Same thing, right?
Absolutely. It's an expression of who he is and what's important to him. And I love Hugh. He's been a big influence on mine. And he's got the business cards with the cartoons, and everyone's got theirs. And it's one of those things like, God, I wouldn't want to wear a name tag every day. You know, a lot of people say that. And my comment is, well, you already do. All of us do. The question is to figure out what is written on it.
And I don't think people can necessarily make that transition in their mind that they are wearing a name tag every day, and they can control that. That's what so frustrates me about some of the prospects that I talk to, is that they don't realize that they're a blank slate, and they can craft a story that people know and understand.
You know it. I mean, the story is that's what people remember. I mean, it's sure they're buying a product or the service or the benefit or all that stuff, but they're buying the story that you tell them, the story they identify with, and perhaps the story they tell themselves as they experience who you are. That's a big one too.
On the theme of branding, you do a lot of different things out of your organization, offer a lot of different services and products. So one of the ones that I want to talk about today, because I just find it fascinating, because I'm anxious to hear the inside story behind it, is a product that you have called the Brand Tag Identity Collage. What the heck is that, and why does that matter to an organization?
Well, the question from earlier is, what's your name tag? And that's an easier question to figure out if you're a person or a one-man show versus an organization. So I had this idea that I would create a product/service/campaign that I would create for my clients, these companies, organizations, nonprofits, that would help them answer that question. So because they cannot wear a physical name tag, what an organization or a brand can do is they can have a brand tag. And what a brand tag is, I call it an identity collage. And what I do is I get together with whoever my client is, whoever I'm working with, and we spend, 90 minutes, 2 hours, and I ask them really hard questions, and I get them to distill the essence of their identity and their brand of who they are down to about 10 different sentences, passages, philosophies, not mission statements. I don't believe in mission statements. The whole concept of a brand tag is to make your mission more than a statement. And so what I do is I gather these pieces of insight, these powerful statements that my clients give us. I'll give you an example. I did this last week with my client. They're in the closeout business, and they had a brilliant philosophy. They said, our job is to buy other people's mistakes and remarket them as opportunities. That's cool. And so I wrote that down and said, that's good. That's going to go on the brand tag. And so once we get it all together, I have a team that I hired out here in St. Louis that is a letterpress printer. It's the only one in town, and they do it by hand. They carve these sentences, these ideas, these philosophies by hand in wood, and then they print it onto this special paper, and I create these customized limited edition art pieces. And people hang them in their offices, these brand tags, and it becomes a combination of an art piece, a social object, a conversation starter. It's so much more than just the mission, because every sentence has a story behind it. And now you got people having conversations about your brand. It's for the employees. It's for the customers. It's a great gift that you give to your vendors. It is the future of marketing. It is the future of employee engagement, and it is the future of what it means to have an identity as an organization.
Scott, I'm going to be honest with you. I was looking at that and saw the name brand tag, and I didn't make the connection, but it's a name tag for a company, for an organization. That's what it is.
100%.
I love
yeah.
it. That's a cool idea. And if you go to your website, I mean, on your section where you talk about it, I mean, it's a cool piece of art. And we mentioned Hugh McCloud earlier. I mean, so the art
right.
is a is a social object. It is a conversation starter. I mean, I can imagine inviting a prospect into your company, and you pull them into the conference room, and that thing's sitting on the wall. You can't help but have a conversation around the ideas and the principles and the message behind that. That's really cool stuff.
And it goes in the lobby, goes in the wall, hell, it can go in the bathroom. The point is, people can't not look at it. And one of my clients has one up in his office, and he told me that in the 4 months that the brand tag has been in his office, he's had more conversations about me and his business than in the past 4 years, just because that piece of art is there. And I thought, wow, I wonder how much money they're saving that they would be wasting on advertising now that they have this cool piece of art/marketing that no one else in the world has. So that's what people are going to see more of. It's a new thing. So I just started this. I've only done a couple so far, but keep posted because these are huge.
Yeah, well, before we let you go today, we'll be sure to have you explain to the audience where they can learn more about that, because I think that's a really cool idea. I mean, shoot, this is about you, Scott. I hate to keep bringing up Hugh, but I have my business cards have one of his cartoons on the back of it, and I don't hand out that business card to someone without someone saying, whoa, what the heck is this? And then we have a conversation about it. That same principle behind that brand tag collage. I think that's really cool stuff. You know, shifting topics to entrepreneurs, so someone escapes the cube farm and they seek to become an entrepreneur. I mean, I think a big piece of your target audience is in fact entrepreneurs. Someone who's starting out to become an entrepreneur in their own right and launch a venture, launch a business, start a new brand. I mean, what would be some advice that you would give someone starting out as a new entrepreneur?
When I started almost a decade ago, I never had a plan. I'm not a planner. I don't believe in planning. I think planning is just like procrastination in disguise. So if you're out there right now and you've got this idea for a business, you want to start your enterprise or build a brand, in my experience, failure doesn't come from poor planning. It comes from the timidity to proceed. And that's why commitment is so essential. And I think commitment is like the biggest thing people do wrong. I mean, I've committed. I got the damn name tag tattooed on my chest. So you know I've committed, and not everyone's going to do that. And so what people need is they got to find a way to make sure that their commitment makes it hard to turn back. My favorite phrase for this is you got to sort of throw yourself under the bus, and not like in a self-sabotage or like a self-mutilation kind of way. And it's not about doing something stupid, but it's about you're an entrepreneur, you want to take this risk. You have to courageously confront your dream, and it probably is going to freak you out. I mean, hell, I still get freaked out on a daily basis because it's a scary thing. But if you don't commit, no one's going to notice. When you do commit, on the other hand, people don't just pay attention, they pay dividends.
Ooh, I like that line. I'm going to steal it. Yeah, it is commitment. I mean, it's actually a funny exercise, Scott. I mean, at one point when we first connected on Facebook, I was glancing through your photo stream, and it's just funny to me that every damn photograph of you on your page, you have the name tag. And you're on vacation at the beach. And you got a name tag on. You're at a restaurant. You got a name tag on. But that's demonstrating commitment. I mean, I think that is the. I mean, that to me, that's an important lesson to impart to an entrepreneur or would-be entrepreneur is you've got to show that. Because I think if you're thinking you're going to be an entrepreneur but you're timid about it, I don't think those two ideas jive. I think you have to almost come across as insanely committed and willing to dive headfirst and throw yourself under the bus that's what it takes, right?
100%. I think sanity is highly overrated.
Well, obviously, if you've started your own business like you and I have, I there are plenty in my world that think I'm insane. So
we all are.
Yep. Shifting to another idea that you've always inspired me, Scott, with holy smokes, all the content that you produce. And I'm not just talking about your blog. I'm talking about the thought that you must put into the messaging that you put out on your tweets, and then all your Facebook messages and the what seems to be almost daily blog post. And what, 8, 9, 10 books? How many have you done?
13
books. Content marketing. It's so important, and it's a battle that I face with my clients every day and trying to help them understand how to unleash the artist and the author and the writer that, frankly, I think is in all of us. Walk us through how you do it, and what are the what's some advice you can share and some secrets you can share on helping people get the content that's in them out?
I learned this from Jack Nicholson. Now, in the movie The Bucket List, there's a great scene where he's with Morgan Freeman going over his bucket list, and Nicholson says one of the items on his list before he dies is he wants to kiss the most beautiful girl in the world. And Morgan Freeman's like cracking up. He's like, oh, come on. I mean, how do you plan to accomplish that? And in one word, Jack says like the most important lesson we could learn. How are you going to kiss the most beautiful girl in the world? And he goes, volume. And I think that anyone who's a writer, anyone who's an entrepreneur who is building a thought leadership value-forward platform, volume is the vehicle. That's like my strategy. And people are going to be upset that I don't have like a system, because I don't have systems. I just write all the time. I just write more than anyone in the world. I will outwrite anyone on this planet. And it's good, too. It's not like I'm putting out crap. What happens is volume... it trumps accuracy, it trumps knowledge, it trumps talent, it trumps popularity, rationality, influence, placement. You know, it doesn't matter if you're persuasive, it matters if you're pervasive. You need to be everywhere. So if you want to be heard, not just listened to, but heard, volume is the vehicle. So I just puke it out onto the page, everything that I'm thinking, I organize it, and I put it out there, okay? I don't edit, ever. Because I write in blood, and you can't edit blood. So if you want to get the stuff out there, just take the risk, be honest, keep putting it out there as much as you can. And I'm amazed. I see friends of mine like writing sequels or like the third edition of my book. I'm like, you're writing a third edition of the same book? Why don't you just write another book? I mean, I know people that have like six editions. I'm like, well, I have six books. Who looks smarter? Volume, volume, volume. That's the Jack Nicholson law.
Right. I love that. I hadn't heard that. I think that's a great way to do it. I mean, are you one of those guys that gets up at 5 in the morning and writes for 3 hours straight? I mean, or do you look for any opportunity you can to just spew content and put it out in blood, as you say?
Yes and yes. And, you know, I use the word vomit and spew just because it's just sort of getting it all out. And I don't say that to degrade the quality of it, because I don't put crap out. I mean, I've been doing this for 10 years, so the quality is fantastic. So it's not that the volume is more important than having something good. What I do is a combined regimen. So I start, 4 or 5 in the morning. I write I write 4 to 7 hours a day. That's my occupation. I'm a writer, so it occupies my time. And then there's also the sort of, when can you find those little mini pockets of time throughout the day? Because people don't need more time. They need less distractions. And think about waiting in line. Think about going to the store. Think about all those moments when you have like 5 minutes when you're just waiting for something. Well, here's a fashion trend that's not going to go away. Working is the new waiting. So I don't know about you guys, but when I'm waiting, I'm writing. So if you have 5 minutes a day and you have 365 days a year, carry the one. So most people just sit around and complain when they're waiting. I'm writing books.
Well, and what inspires you to come up with your ideas and your content? I mean, is it just experiences that on things you're out there just getting your hands dirty and so you write about it, or what is your inspiration for the actual ideas? Or is it still, again, a volume thing and you just getting what's in you out, something meaningful is going to present itself?
I'm inspired by everything. Everything,
yeah.
everything. If you want to be inspired, if you want to find inspiration, you will. You have to listen. I mean, that's all creativity is. It's active listening. And if people can't come up with new ideas, okay, they don't need to read a book on writing. They need to have their hearing checked.
I like that. Well, and Scott, I don't put out as much content as you do, but I'm writing a couple of books and I'm blogging, four or five times a week. I mean, the thing is, once you kind of get into that habit, once you get into that routine, and I guess the key word is volume, is that your eyes become, it's naturally opened to identifying new opportunities. I mean, you'll drive by a sign and say, oh, that was the idea, the emotion I felt by seeing that image,
spark an idea. I mean, you just have to be open to it. I just feel like so many people are so limit themselves in thinking it's got to be Pulitzer quality content when all people want to hear is what's in your gut, right?
Yeah, it's all there. It's all waiting for us to catch it. I'll give you an example. Where the heck was I? I was at this coffee shop that had like sort of a Colorado ski lodge theme, and they had a sign on the wall that says, dog sled parking only, violators will be peed on. I took a picture of that with my iPhone. Now, pictures are content too. So that's why I'm always snapping pictures of cool stuff like that. Here's another example. I was in New York this last week, and there is a store front that was for rent, and it says, I can't take it anymore. I must rent this store. That's great. That's a classic sign. So it's not just about signs. I mean, there's so many things out there that we got to be taking advantage of. We got to be taking pictures of, because those are those little micro moments of inspiration that we could go back. We're sitting around one morning like, God, I can't find anything to write about. And then you go to your phone like, oh, wait a minute. I got that great sign from New York. You know, that was kind of funny. I want to write about the lessons I learned from that sign on how other businesses could take a couple of hints from that company. That's the kind of stuff you got to do.
Hey, Scott, I appreciate you sharing that. We're actually out of time. You and I could probably talk for hours. Before I let you go, share with us how to contact you and how to learn more about you and your work, and put in a plug about where they can get more information about those brand tag identity collages.
Yeah, I'm very easy to find. All you got to do is go to Google and type in the word name tag. That's it. I'll keep it very simple. I have a lot of different stuff that I offer to people. My clients use me in seven or eight different ways. So instead of me trying to tell people what they should buy, go to Google, type in the word name tag, and then I would love to become part of their life in some way. And if I can do so, terrific. If not, that's cool too.
Awesome. Scott, it was great to have you. I'm glad we finally connected. Thanks for making some time to be with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Todd.
All right. Well, that wraps Episode 32, I am your host, Todd Schnick. We'll see you next time on Intrepid Radio.